listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Chris Mueller is a national speaker, author, father of six, and is currently making a Catholic TV show for families as he travels speaking to over 10,000 people each year. Between Chris having over 18 years experience in Catholic lay ministry and Timmery's holding a master's degree in biblical theology, together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery.
Do you ever experience those mornings where the alarm goes off? You hear it going off, you either sleep right through it, or maybe you go and just tap snooze one more time, and then 10 minutes later you tap it again.
Do I ever, or do I always? I think it'd be a better question. Yeah, man, it's funny, because there are some people who are morning people. My wife is a morning person. Alarm goes off, or even doesn't go off, she's out of bed, you know, but me, it's just like, I've just never been that guy.
Ironically, I'm not super tired, you know, a little bit into the morning, but this morning I am. It's not even late. You know, I actually, over the last couple of months, I've changed my morning routines. I have just felt as if I am way too dependent on my phone in the mornings. And even the night before, you know, you have with the iPhone, okay, I need to get the perfect 8.5 or 8 hours of sleep or whatever it might be. And so I need to go to bed at this time. Well, the reality is that sometimes life happens. We know when we should get to bed. We shouldn't be calculating it every day. And either way, when we wake up in the morning, we have to get up at a certain time. You got to get up and go. You can't just keep hitting snooze, because then we kind of fail at the day when we barely get breakfast in, we're half ready, and we just go running out the door carrying all these things in our arms.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Hey, so you're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery. Today we're talking about routines and getting up in the morning and how that works and some of the tips that have worked for us and things that we can share and we think might work for you. So, as always, as you're listening to this, if you caught comments, you can go to our pages and add those in and kind of join the conversation there as well.
And I'll just throw this out here coming up later on the show. So we're starting by talking about how you set your morning up and how it really sets your whole day. We'll be talking a little bit more about getting stuff done, discipline, and then later, prayer. How is prayer a part of your day? And finally, ending the night, preparing for a good night's sleep and setting your goals for the next day.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I've been excited about this episode, like watching it coming up because we've been kind of planning this, because there's some of these things that have just changed my life. And I've noticed that when I implement some of these things, I get so much more done. I feel so much better at the end of the day. And when I do go to sleep, I sleep better because there's less anxiety, there's less stress, like the stuff that I needed to get done, I got done. I didn't feel wasted, you know?
Yeah. I think a full disclosure would help. I'm super type A type of person. I'm very disciplined and rigid with how I do things. And when things get out of order, when I'm not disciplined, I get really frustrated. Or on the downside, when people interrupt my plan, I don't always handle that as well.
Right. Yeah. See, I am not. I'm like the opposite. I'm very much like, well, whatever comes and, you know, roll with it. And, you know, and when we've done retreats at the parish, like there's always a plan and it just, you know, and then we'll see what happens, you know.
So this is great because even in our show prep, I'm like, make sure it's bolded here, have everything in this line. And poor Chris is like getting another message from me. Can you put it in the right place? And I'm like, but it's me being, you know, being kind of particular about how I have things, and maybe I'm not so good at going with the flow, right? And maybe I also need to have the right order to how I'm running things with flexibility there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We're talking about that morning routine, and you mentioned that hitting the snooze on the alarm, which is, I think, a plague for many, many people. My kids have just entered adolescence, and they're like zombies in the morning getting out of bed. And there's this change of mindset that I kind of realized, I don't know how long ago, that the alarm doesn't get me out of bed. Mm-hmm. It is not the alarm's job to get me out of bed. It's my job to get out of bed, right? And so the alarm wakes me up, but then my will has to move me from that bed. And most people, I think we never make that connection, right? You just think, oh, well, the alarm never gets me up.
Well, and I think people, to begin with, don't really think about the difference between the intellect and the will. It's one thing to think something. It's another thing to will it and actually make it happen.
Right. And that choice doesn't start at, you know, 5 a.m. the next morning or 6 a.m. or whatever time you get up. That choice actually begins the night before. When you set the alarm, I think if you set the alarm with the mindset of, this isn't going to get me up. I'm going to get me up. Like, I have to, like, and I remember, like, there's been many days where I've gotten up and I've said, this is an act of will. Like, when I'm waking, like, literally in my mind going, like, this is an act of will. This is a choice. I'm choosing to get up right now.
Or the choice where I remember I used to go through the phase where I said, okay, no snooze. When it goes off, you get up. And, you know, there are those excuses, you know, for people of faith. Oh, well, I'm going to pray first thing in the morning. Well, you can't stay laying in bed trying to pray because...
No, you'll pray like St. Joseph, just dreaming the entire time.
So true. And the next thing you know, you're late for everything. So knowing maybe you need to get up and, like, walk around for 5 seconds before you pray or go to the bathroom, whatever it might be, you know, even, you know, think about it, back in the day they had no alarm clocks, and so this is kind of my new thing, and I used to do it in college and I never had an issue with it, and I'm kind of turned back into it, and I think it's stepping out of faith a little bit, but I've stopped using the alarm clock completely.
Wow.
The night before, I go, okay, Lord, you've got my back. Guardian angel, you've got my back. I need you to wake me up by this time or in time to get ready. And I find that not only am I waking up earlier, but I'm just getting up and going first thing in the morning. I've not had a single issue, haven't been late for anything. I'm like, Lord, I'm stepping out in faith here. I have something really important tomorrow morning. And I've not had an issue.
It's funny, because you told me this a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to my kids about it, saying, you know, I love the idea. And so I've been thinking about it. And so I didn't actually do it, because it's insane. But what happened this morning, thinking about that idea of waking myself up, I woke up at 4:30 this morning.
Nice.
And I blame you for that.
You're welcome. That is,
you know, it's interesting, because that idea of naturally waking up, I actually have found a tool to use that has helped me get up a lot. And it's the Philips Wake Light alarm clock. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Mm-mm.
But what it is it, and it was like a $40 alarm clock. So it's not going to break your bank. It's a little bit of investment. Then you can get them up to $120, or, you know, you can get different levels. But what it does is about 15 minutes before you're supposed to wake up, it just slowly starts brightening the room. And it's not too obtrusive. Like, my wife can sleep through it. It's on my side of the bed. But then when the alarm goes off, you're 90% of the time I'm already awake.
That's fantastic. You know,
yeah, I love it.
You know what? I think this actually hits on something as well. Natural light in, for me, so I've actually had a lot of issues with falling asleep at night and waking up in the morning. And for a period of time, I had hardly any light at all entering into my room. And so what we ended up finding is I needed to spend a little bit of time outside when the sun was going down, and I needed to find a way to get up and make it outside in the morning, because guess what? Our body actually works with a clock of nature as well.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, totally.
And so that's why that light makes sense, because it's bringing light into your room. And so I recently moved. Waking up in the mornings has been so much easier because there's light coming into my room in the morning again.
Yeah. And so you may, I know in our house, we tend to close all the blinds because we're scared of the outside world. But what about sleeping with the blinds open,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're, you know, in second story, you're not worried about your neighbors coming in and, you know, taking screenshots or whatever. But sleep with the blinds open so the light can pour naturally, and see how that affects your morning routine. But I love this awake light, because it's made that alarm less obtrusive. It's less like getting slapped in the face first thing in the morning, you know?
Right.
Yep.
I'm going to throw a thing out there, and I think this is maybe more of an issue for the younger individuals who are listening to the show. This idea that I need to sleep in. I feel like we've gotten to the point where people have, oh, I need my me time. I need to sleep in. No, you need to be disciplined enough to have a lifestyle where you don't have to sleep in on Sunday and have to go to the latest mass that day. Like, this attitude that I need to sleep in, we should be people of great discipline. And that includes even our downtime.
Well, it's kind of cliche to say it, but the most valuable commodity you have is time. You mm-hmm. cannot make more of it. And the only thing you really can do is lose it, right? By making unhealthy choices, you can kind of shorten your life, but you can't do anything to lengthen it per se. And so, yeah, that sleeping in till 10 or 12 or 1, depending on who you are, that really is, you're losing that opportunity, particularly if you're in that point of life where you're trying to get a job or you're trying to get started, start a business or whatever it is. Those hours are vital. You know, and I hear from young people all the time, oh, but you don't know how busy I was today. Yeah, I know exactly how busy you were today, right? But did you use that time well? Everybody got the same time today. How did you use yours compared to how that guy used his, right?
I've really been working on not saying that phrase, oh, I didn't have time to do that. I'm trying to be better at saying, I didn't make time to do that. It's a choice not to do something.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, whether it's a choice that I didn't eat breakfast this morning because I used to hit snooze on my alarm clock all the time. You know, I had to make a rule. No snooze. I get up and go. You know, even if I have to jump up and down for a second, whatever it might be, get up and go. And so I want to move forward a little bit into setting that morning up. You know, maybe you're a person that needs coffee.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you have a coffee maker, you know you're going to have coffee. I'm a coffee person. My wife is a coffee person. So set the coffee up the night before. So when you wake up, it's already there, right? And so you don't, and I love the idea of like kind of road mapping your morning so that you take all of the thinking out of it. You lay your clothes out the night before, you set the coffee the night before, you know, you've got your routine, I'm going to get in the shower. And so there's just, I go from A to B to C to D and I'm on my way rather than I wake up and I run downstairs and I set the coffee and now what am I going to eat for breakfast? I got cereal, I got to have toast, I got to have eggs. You know, no, I eat this for breakfast. I do this at this time. I bump, a bump, a bump. And so I'm not wasting the brain power on it. And I'm also not wasting the time in indecision.
Well, and I've noticed for me, I have a really difficult time with some of my autoimmune struggle. There is a lot of limited food that I can eat. And so if I don't pre-plan kind of, well, do I have everything I need for breakfast? And have I maybe cooked things ahead of time to take it with me on the go? Because I'm hardly home. So I'm having to truly pre-prepare every single thing I eat. And if I don't know that ahead of time, so when I wake up, I already know from the night before what my schedule is that day. I shouldn't have to recheck it. I know where I need to be at what time. But also there's something important where I need to have some goals. So maybe I woke up extra early and I have 2 hours before I need to be somewhere. Well, what are my goals for that day? How can I start plugging through things to be more task oriented?
Yeah, absolutely. Now you may be listening to this going, I thought this was Catholic radio. What does this have to do with my faith? Well, the reality is as you're getting your day started, you're putting yourself in a much better position to go out and to do the work of the kingdom. As you're kind of creating that routine to get out and to get into your day, you're saying, I'm going to be a good steward of the time that God has given me. I'm going to go out and I'm going to use this and I'm going to be productive. I'm going to have a good attitude, right? I'm not starting in the wrong place.
And I love that because remembering that we're stewards not just of the things we have, but our time. You mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's one of our most precious commodities. So coming up on the show, you're going to hear a little bit more about getting stuff done during the day and working through those challenges, and we'll transition into prayer. I'm really excited about our time on prayer.
You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
So you started your morning out well, you have your routine, you're working on getting out of bed more naturally, hopping up, not pressing snooze. Now we get into more of the meatier part of the day. And I want to touch this before we go in. Remember that you need to know your body and what you need in the morning to fuel you. So don't forget the importance of breakfast. I know for me, I need to have a lot of fat, a lot of protein.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just real quick to that getting out of bed part. I want to get back to that. Spiritual warfare, all right? Can just, I don't want to make it too overblown, but there is a struggle. Like there's a battle that happens in getting out of bed. And just to say, if you say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to get up at 5:00, and if you don't understand, like it doesn't immediately happen. Like there's going to be like a challenge, a fight, a struggle, and you have to pray into that. God, help me, or pray against whatever is coming against you. Because the reality is you're making these positive changes. There's a devil who wants you to stay mired in muck, right? And so to kind of pray that the spiritual battle of, okay, Lord, I align my will with yours.
And that's why we're doing a show on discipline, morning, setting your day off right. Because if we are not a people of intention, we are going to be a people of nothing. We're not going to be able to pray. We're not going to make time to pray. And I'm going to add into there, the last moment of waking up in the morning. I remember a number of years ago, I heard this talk where someone was talking about how every day we have the opportunity to offer up more sacrifices. And the idea came up that maybe we should make the effort to offer up each day for someone. And that is the motivation to get you out of bed. So I personally have gotten into ever since college, this idea of, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I don't want to get up, and kind of literally telling myself, Timmery, get it together. Suck it up.
Right.
Offer this day for this person. And you're making the sacrifice at the beginning of your day to our Lord for this person, whatever they might be going through.
Right. And again, there's a sacrifice. It's a struggle. But then also try to say, okay, now God, I want that to be a joyful sacrifice, right? So help me make this less of a, and more of a, I can do this,
Right.
It makes a difference. Okay. I want to get back to what you're saying about breakfast, because I think it's huge, right?
Oh dear. I remember last time we actually have another show that we did talking a little bit about goals and discipline, and we kept coming back to the main point because there's so many good things for life hacks, essentially.
Oh, absolutely. But I love what you're saying about what do you need to make you feel good? Some of us are just in a habit of eating kind of what the comfort stuff, right? Like, and so we have dessert for breakfast and we call it breakfast, but really it's, you're not, you're just going to have that and you're just, okay, now I need to take a nap, right?
So the food coma stuff.
So yeah, for me, I'm the same way. I like to have, you know, just some protein, and some fat, like some butter on and some whole wheat toast, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a real clean, there's no thinking. So I'll do literally like, you know, two eggs and three egg whites and a little spinach and an omelet there. And then, you know, a cup of coffee and some toast with some butter or some coconut oil or something, because I'm a hippie.
I'm a total hippie when it comes to breakfast. I have a breakfast porridge, essentially, that's made up of chia seeds, flax seeds, coconut shreds, coconut oil. Like, it's fatty and as fibrous and as protein-oriented as it can be, because that fuels my brain to move forward for the rest of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm not saying, if you're listening to this, that you've got to be, like, you know, super nutrition, but,
right.
But are you being intentional? Right. And are you thinking it out ahead of time so that you're taking the decision out of your morning?
And I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not a dietitian, but, you know, in a lot of, you know, education, eggs, bacon are fantastic breakfast. And
sure.
Maybe you love eating that. Well, guess what? Your body loves that for setting out your day. So maybe you make the bacon ahead of time. I actually will pre-make bacon for the week and I can have it and throw it on things. And it takes a minute to make an egg.
You could buy pre-made bacon at Costco or Sam's Club.
Please,
in like
just
a
don't
big
microwave
old bag.
It.
Yeah, I'm just saying you can do it. I mean, so there are ways to kind of hack that stuff. Now, for me personally, I don't actually like to eat before exercise. I will go to the gym. I'll wake up at, you know, oh, dark 30, go to the gym, do my exercise, and then come home and feed myself after. Because I found, like, if I try to go pray or try to be productive before I get the exercise in, I'm just like a bear. Like, it's just, you know, and I just can't. And so for me, I've got to get the body moving. I got to get the endorphins going. And then I can kind of feed myself and go to the office and have a super productive day.
Well, and that hits on another point. So we're in the getting stuff done section. Where do you get your exercise in? Because that helps you to be productive. So maybe you have a better timetable where you can exercise at night. Maybe you can sleep well after exercising at night. Or maybe, like Chris, you need to get up and move in the morning.
Yeah. Again, and why is exercise important? It's that stewardship of the body. We're not saying everybody needs to look like, you know, Ryan Reynolds, and, you know, you don't have to be like this picture of, you know, whatever our society has made health look like. But we do want you to feel good. I mean,
right. You
want to feel good. And if you feel good, you're going to approach those tasks. And everybody has this stuff in the day they're not looking forward to. But if you generally feel good, you're going to be able to approach those better.
You know, I just keep looking at, you know, the increase in suicide rates and mental illness and all of these things happening. And I just keep thinking that one of the first things doctors recommend is, are you exercising? Are you active? Are you moving? The impact on our brain, right? All of these different chemicals and endorphins. It's like, you know, it's food for the brain just in exercising, helping our overall state of well-being, our pain tolerance, our sense of feeling loved. All of these things, you know, our brain is interacting with that exercise to help fuel us to be more disciplined, not just how we look.
Right. Well, and study after study on depression has shown going for a walk elevates mood. Mm-hmm. Changes everything, and it can be as effective as some of the antidepressants they're prescribing. All right, we need to talk about getting stuff done. So I think we can stay on, because the morning routine is so important, but I think we do need to talk about getting stuff done. You know, I was having a conversation the weekend with a friend who's a military man, and he's got millennials and is raising Gen Z or whatever. And, you know, his son says, well, I didn't have time to do that today. And the point he made was, it's because you don't have a plan for your day.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of, you know, and if you don't have a plan, you just aren't going to get stuff done. So if you're in a position where you constantly feel like, I never have time, I think most of us think, oh, yeah, I'll make a list of everything I have to do. And then it's completely overwhelming, right?
We totally fail.
Oh, because it's not. Okay, so the next step is make that list, but then set priorities to that list. And now, okay, well, I know the things I have to get done. I know it's what's important. Work on the top of the list and ignore the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say, like, some things on the bottom, like email, have to get done. But you could spend a little time in the morning and a little time in the afternoon, and you can get that done. But email is like one of those things that you check it 15 times a day. You think you're being productive, but you're really just sucking all of your time away, right?
Well, and I actually have a tip for that. Whether it's email or whether it's the fact that you wore something and you keep making that pile close, whether it's on the floor or for me, it's a nice tidy pile on top of my laundry that needs to go back up, hung up, but then it turns into a really big pile. Well, the rule that I learned is only touch everything once. So maybe it's an email. When you read the email, get that response done, or write on the to-do list the thing you need to get done for it in order to touch it. Or if you have time, maybe quickly take care of it. Or it's that piece of clothing, you just wore it, put it right back in your closet, only touch it once, because you take more time touching it over and over again, moving it from here to there, back to the closet.
Absolutely. You know, and again, with that list of priorities, you may have, well, I need to do this really big thing, right? Great. You're not going to get the big thing done today. So break it down and say, well, what can I do to move the ball forward on that thing? And maybe, you know, so you're not constantly feeling like you're defeated, right? And so right now I'm working on getting this nonprofit venture started. We're producing a television show. We're doing all those things. I can't make the TV show in one day. So that is always going to be on my list, right? But I can finish the script, or I can do revisions, or I can communicate that to our producer, or all these things can happen that I've moved the ball forward. So I have some success in that. And then I can maybe move to the next thing on the list, knowing that I've done what I can do today for that, right? Mm-hmm. Even though the project isn't done.
So practically what I like to do is have either 3 or 5 goals. And I realize for me, I will set like 5 huge goals for the day. So
right.
I have to do 3. So maybe it's a Monday and tomorrow's the show, right? I tend to have my number one goal is show prep. Like that, I have to get my show prep done. And after that, well, realistically, what are the 2 big things that I can get done outside of that? Then on a separate list, and we actually talk about this. We did another show a little earlier this summer. We talk about different techniques. And one of the techniques for getting stuff done is working on distractions. Well, you have your distraction list. Okay, I need to order this vitamin from Amazon. I want to add this book to my reading list. I need to write this thing, you know, to this person. I just have it at my right hand side and I just keep writing down those things. At the end of the day, I cross a bunch of them off that don't need to be done, right? Like
right.
Googling the most recent person who won an award or whatever it might be.
Sure. This was the Pomodoro technique we're talking about. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, where you'll set like work blocks, like I'm going to work for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, then I'll take a 5-minute break, and you work like that. Your distraction list, so yeah, so maybe I do want to see, you know, how tall is Hugh Jackman, right? And so you go, so in your 5-minute break, well, then you have the freedom to Google, how tall is Hugh Jackman, right?
You know, that actually reminds me, I've been watching a little bit more of the I Love Lucy reruns,
sure,
and I cannot figure out how old Lucy is. How old is Lucille Ball? Like, I can't figure
well,
it
now,
out.
Well,
no, in the first season.
Okay, yeah.
First
yeah, yeah.
season, how old was she?
I have no idea.
Okay, I need to Google it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But again, but take that distraction list, like, you know, kind of jumping into prayer a little early. How often do you go to prayer and you're trying to spend time with the Lord and distractions come in? Well, bring your distraction list with you, write it down, kind of commit that to the Lord for the time you're in prayer, and then keep moving forward. So that way, after your time of prayer, you see, okay, well, I remembered I had to buy vitamins. Well, then you can, right? You can, but you're not going to interrupt the conversation with God to go buy vitamins, just like you're not going to interrupt your work time to go buy vitamins.
I should remember that. Take my distraction list to the chapel. Another tip, and we're going to get into this more with prayer, but one of the tips when we're praying, you know, there's so many distractions that come in, and there's a tip I was told. Just keep saying, if you're distracted, just keep choosing to say the name of Jesus. And even if you had that half an hour time, maybe you said Jesus 30 times during that half hour, that's all you did, at least you chose him in that moment. Well, same thing with our tasks, right?
Right.
What we're working on. No, I'm sitting here. I'm writing this article right now. And I have this idea following the Pomodoro technique. That's actually how I came across it, was I was having a hard time writing. So this rule, I would write 33 minutes and take a 3-minute break. If I was not writing, I could literally only stay at the wall in front of me.
Wow. That's, you put yourself in timeout.
I put myself, well, no, it was the fact that I needed to stay disciplined. I needed to take all the distracting tabs off of my computer. So I actually go into presentation mode on my computer so that nothing else is on the screen. Oh, look at the time. Oh, look, I left that tab open, whatever it might be.
Right. Yeah. You just close, you take the distractions out of the thing. I think if you're sitting down to write or do some project like that too, you have to give yourself permission to be bad at it for the first 10, 15, 20 hour, right? Like it takes right. time to get in that place, to get your mind working, to get things rolling. Hey, we're talking about productivity, how to get the most out of your day. And we're going to continue that conversation after the break. Hey, you can be part of this conversation by following us on social media. You can jump out and find trending online, or you can get the podcast at home and share it with a friend.
Chris and Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at C Mueller Tweets, spelled M-U-E-L-L-E-R, and at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E.
Hi,
I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timory Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timory podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timory.
So we're talking a lot about life hacks. We've been talking about setting your morning up right, getting stuff done. We're going to be talking about setting yourself up for sleep and prayer as well. But I want to hear from you guys. What are some of your life hacks? Maybe it's a way that you get up in the morning, or a specific way you make your coffee that helps you to really just move through your morning quickly. Whatever it might be. But one of those I really want to talk about is social media. I know what a distraction it can be. And I've had, you know, I've talked earlier on the show over the last couple weeks when we were talking about purpose and organization, about how I had to, you know, set timers on my computer that would block out certain websites from being available for more than 5 or 10 minutes in that day. I don't need that anymore, but for a long period of time, I needed to kind of stoop down to that level of having that barrier. Well, now, Chris, what I try to do is I always try to have a purpose for why I'm hopping on Facebook, Instagram. That way I don't get lost in the mindless streaming and running through everything that's available.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can get sucked into the mire of Facebook or Twitter, or I've actually blocked Instagram at the server level on my stuff because I just found that like that was huge time-sucking waste. And same thing with Pinterest. I admit, Pinterest.
You are a Pinterester?
You know what? You start doing your backyard. I'm not posting on it, but you just go, oh, I'll post this and I'll post that. Post that, and you're like, oh man, I just spent way too long looking at treehouses I'm never going to build.
Oh man, I want to see your Pinterest board.
You can't. I deleted the account. It's gone.
You deleted the account.
Yeah, I had to say no.
I bet you anything, one of these listeners is going to hop on and find your account on Pinterest somehow.
Oh, yeah, somehow they can't. Because the internet is forever, kids. If you didn't know that, it's not diamonds. It's the internet.
It's like the old MySpace. Remember when photos came up a while back? I'm like, oh, I posted that?
Oh, MySpace. Yeah, totally. You know, I love this technique we talked about, the Pomodoro technique of productivity, where you're going to set your working blocks, right? And then you've got your break blocks. Like you've got your social media addiction. You just want to check during your 5-minute break or your 30-minute break, you can just touch it and come away. If you can handle that. If you can't handle that, don't do it.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. And I mean, for the most part, I just don't use social media anymore. If I'm going on and I'm in that little chunk of time off, or maybe I'm during my 33-minute chunk or so where I'm working and I have a social media task I have to accomplish, well, I have to go, Timory, your goal is to do this. So I remember business school. Plan your work, do your work, get paid for your work was how they always put it. I say, okay, plan your work, do your work, and then get the reward of getting out.
Right. Yeah. You know, one of the things that happens to me is I'll be reading theology and I'll be prepping a talk or I'll be in the Bible and I'll go, oh, that's good. I got to tweet that. Right. And so it takes you right out. So again, that distraction list, whether you keep it as a notepad on your computer or a notepad that you can write on, you know, an analog, just save it for later. Right. And then one of the great tools I've found for social media, because I've fallen into the trap of, well, I'm a Catholic speaker. I should be present. I got to have the social media present, blah, 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 all that stuff. Well, then, okay, rather than just posting like 5 things at one time, use a tool like Hootsuite. And schedule your tweets or your Facebook posts, right? Hootsuite is a Facebook schedule. There's a lot of them out there, like TweetDeck. There's those things. Mm-hmm. And so then you can kind of put them out there. You can write them on your distractors list, then load them up, and then schedule them throughout the week, and you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. And that's what I tried to do in a chunk time, because otherwise, oh my gosh, oh, well, I'm going to retweet this one. I'm going to read this person's tweet.
Oh, sure,
oh,
yeah.
Man, and it's a reminder for you guys to know that we're actually not on social media all the time. So when you see posts at different times throughout the day, I remember someone once saying, I thought you were here. Well, there was something posting that for me.
It's the man behind the curtain, you know.
And I have a team, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've kind of had a social media black hole lately just because I have been intentionally using my time. Right? Mm-hmm. I've just been saying I just need to get stuff done. And so there's been less of that. Now, me personally, and this is a Chris Mueller thing, I don't post a lot of pictures of my kids. I don't post pictures of my family. Part of that is I think my kids deserve the right to have their own anonymity. And if they want to start posting pictures when they're an age where they can handle that responsibility, that's up to them. But like, I don't get to use my kids to get likes, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people doing that right now, where they're literally using their children or their spouse to get likes on Facebook. And, oh, no, we're sharing a positive image of family. Maybe. That's fine. But it's a fine line. Like, are you doing that, or are you using them, you know, to get likes?
Well, and I think that's a fine line in general of this kind of desire for attention that all of us can have. And what's the purpose of posting about your breakfast or posting about this great vacation you had? Was it to show off what you're doing, or was it you really just want to share this memory for people who maybe don't see you very often?
Right, absolutely. And so what I did is, on my Facebook account, I created a private group that only people in the group can see. You can't even find it if you don't know it's there, right? And it's just my family. And so I can share, like, First Communion pictures, or the kids in the backyard, or he just won this award. And then my brothers and my sisters and their kids, like, who are adults, can all see that, and we can communicate kind of on the back channel. Right. So anyway.
So I wanted to switch gears here, transitioning into prayer. One of the things for me in getting stuff done centers around prayer. And I have been very blessed with a formation, with a monastic formation. It was a number of years ago. I fell in love with the Divine Office Liturgy of the Hours. If you don't know what that is, check it out. Research it. We just talked about it on a show a couple weeks ago, where we talk about purpose and organization in our lives. But essentially, in the monastic lifestyle, they have times of prayer and they have times of responsibility and duty. And when it is time to pray, that bell rings and they're up and they move into their period of prayer. Otherwise, they have a responsibility that they're working on at that time. And they're in constant communication with God during that time. They've formed this contemplative type of spirit. And so there's this balance of knowing there's a time to pray and there's time to work. And that entire time, though, I am in the presence of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, just like in my relationship with my wife, we're always married. There's never a point in the day we're not married, mm-hmm. but we do have times where we go on dates or where we're intentionally present to each other, right?
Yeah.
And so we think of our prayer, in the most common metaphor that God uses for his relationship to his people is marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
We think of our relationship with prayer. Yeah, there are times where I have to go to the office and get stuff done, but that doesn't mean I'm not married during that time.
Or that you don't have children. You still
right.
have those responsibilities.
Absolutely. So I'm still connected to my family. They're still in my mind. They're still in my heart. I'm still thinking about them, praying for them. And if my wife calls, I'm going to respond to a text or a phone mm-hmm. call, right? Those kind of things. Well, it's the same in my relationship with the Lord. I need to have intentional time to work on that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But if he texts me in the middle of my work time, he breaks in, I can say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening," right? Or I incorporate that into what I'm doing. And if you think about it, like, a married couple who isn't dating anymore is going to very quickly find out the relationship is struggling. Like, if you're not making intentional time for each other on a regular basis, you're going to have a troubled relationship. What happens is you start to assign motive to the other person. Well, you did this because of that. Or I know you did that because you did this, because you're not connected. Well, in our relationship with God, if we don't make intentional time for each other, the same thing happens. Something bad happens in our life. And go, "What, God, why did you let that happen to me?" No. We start, the cynicism creeps into our relationship with God. And so we have to make those intentional moments of prayer. And so I like that you say that that's monastic tradition of there's time for work and there's time for prayer. With just mm-hmm. like a married person, there's time to do the business of family, and then there's time to have a date, to have the romance, mm-hmm. right?
Well, and I love it, too, because in formation, I've had the opportunity of spending summers with the religious, and there's a time for exercise, right? They have
right.
a period of, we need to make sure we get up and move. We need to make sure that we study and we form our intellect. And then we also have specific jobs that we accomplish. But in prayer, you know, you guys, I see so often we make an excuse for prayer. We don't pray in the morning. We just get up and go and we forget to pray. What is your prayer routine in the morning? Maybe you're praying the Liturgy of the Hours of Divine Office. It's a set prayer every morning. You can even do it on your phone, even though I'm not a phone person, because it distracts me, right? I focus better with paper. Or maybe, you know, you're reading. I know right now I'm reading, you know, through two different books in the Bible, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Maybe you read a specific chapter in that book you're reading. I'm rereading Isaiah right now. And you're following that, and that's setting your day. You're inviting the Holy Spirit in to talk to you, to teach you, to help you better know our Lord.
I've mentioned this book before on the show, but Appointment with God, Father Michael Scanlon wrote it, just a quick little book. It gives a form for your hour of prayer, right? And it, you know, breaks it into where it kind of follows the Our Father, like the form of the Our Father. But you spend a certain amount of time in worship. You spend a certain amount of time reading. You spend a certain amount of time listening. You spend a certain amount of time of confession and petition. And so you bring that into your time. Because I think what happens to most people is they say, "Well, I need to pray today." And then they sit down and they go, Wait, I don't know how to pray. Right? Or right. What do I do? And then your mind starts to wander. Then you feel guilty. And then you realize you've been texting for the last 20 minutes and you didn't actually pray. So going into your time of prayer, like everything else we've talked about in your day, with a plan makes a big difference.
And, you know, sometimes it's different. You know, I've gone through periods of time where I can stop and spontaneously pray and just spontaneously pray that entire time for my morning prayer, whatever it might be. There are times where I, for example, right now, really struggle with distraction. So I need to have that written text in front of me. I need to have a rubric in order to successfully pray right now. And, you know, here are some things that we should have in our lives that we're working on. You know, we're going to Mass on Sundays. How do we implement Mass throughout the week? I know I personally, if I don't go to Mass, for me, it's fundamental in my prayer life. I need to attend daily Mass. And so planning, how do I do that? What time? Right now, how life works out is I'm going at 6:30 a.m. Is it fun necessarily? No. But I know for me, that's how I get my prayer time in that union with our Lord.
Oh, sure. Again, if you're at a place where Mass is not offered, you know, then that's a different situation.
Or
right?
The time just really doesn't work out.
Like, oh, absolutely.
You struggle right now because you're picking up and dropping off.
Right. There's
the
just no
time.
Way we drop kids off. But during summer, there's a little availability, right?
Right.
So it changes. But I'm going to take this back to, you know, you may think, gosh, a plan for prayer, doesn't that make it seem so kind of formal? And well, here's the reality. Like I've been on many dates with my wife. I can tell you the dates that are not as good, and it's always good, are the ones where like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Well, what do you want to do? Should we do this? I don't know. Where should we eat? I don't know where you're going to eat. And again, but when we have a plan, like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to do that. And it can change, right? It can vary. There's room for spontaneity, but going in with a plan allows you the room for spontaneity.
But let's take that date analogy even further. If you care about someone, you're going to plan time to spend with them.
Right.
And if you plan time to spend with them, there may be specific things you want to talk to them about, do with them. Like, there's this intention. Well, why is it that we make excuses about being intentional with God?
No, absolutely. Huge caveat, though. There have been times when my wife and I go on dates, and it's literally like, we just need to escape our children. And that's okay to go to prayer to say, I just need this time of sanctuary, Lord. Hey, we're going to talk more about prayer, more about that productivity, and actually how you can set up to have a good day the night before on Trending. So stick with us. And like always, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, you need to do that. Find us on iTunes or iHeartRadio or various places on the web.
Chris and Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at C Mueller Tweets, spelled M-U-E-L-L-E-R, and at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
I remember a priest once talked to me about how the religious have all this formation of deep conversation with God and how to go about their day and how to pray. Yet we're the ones in the world even more so than they are, and we don't know how to pray. And one of the things that he really focused on was this idea of being in constant communication, forming the contemplatives of this millennium. So Eagle Eye Ministries is just a ministry I'm going to shamelessly plug away at. Incredible for young adults, and they even have some camps for teens in the summer. And it's basically taking on that monastic lifestyle and having formation, spiritual formation, exercise, outdoors. It's fantastic. But one of the nuggets, and they're the Community of St. John, is these 7 acts of adoration throughout the day, where you take a moment recognizing God is King of the universe. King, you know, here I am, a creature before the Creator, totally dependent on you, and doing that 7 times throughout the day.
Yeah. Well, it's worship, right? Most of us don't ever actually worship in our prayer. We give thanks, which is wonderful. We offer petition, very good. We make confession in our prayer. But how often do we just give God glory because of who He is? There's not one being in the universe you could worship where it wouldn't get weird except God.
Right?
Because He's the only being in the universe that is due worship, right? And so when we feel like our prayer is dry or it's not working, I hate to use that word. Well, I can guarantee you, if you feel like your prayer is dry, is there worship in it?
Mm-hmm.
And if there isn't, then the lines of communication aren't straight. Because when we worship, we set the relationship in its proper order. You're God, I'm not. You're mm-hmm. all powerful, I'm not. You're worthy of all praise and all worship, adoration, I'm not. And we just, to bring that in, I love to bring it in 7 times a day. Yeah, you deserve glory. You deserve honor, God.
Right. And maybe you do that. You start in the morning when you first get up. You get out of bed and then kneel. That's gotten you moving, right? You make that act of adoration before you start your work, the middle of the day, you know, taking a pause and all these periods throughout the day and ending right before you go to bed, kneeling. And I've got to emphasize the importance of truly kneeling, making a gesture, a bow, whatever it can be, of humility before God. There's this book and it's titled, You Shall Worship One God. And it's by the founder of the Community of St. John, Father Marie-Dominique Philippe. And he was a Dominican before he started the community, but he focuses on the first commandment. And looking at that, you shall worship one God, right? Like this, the act of worship, God isn't just saying, you can only have me. He's saying, you'll worship me. And so this book, You Shall Worship One God, I think would be transformational for your prayer life. It's an easy to read book, just peppered with scripture. And I really recommend it because he looks at the different sacrifices in the Old Testament and how we too are called to make sacrifices today.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you keep saying first thing in the morning. I know for me, I have gone through periods where I'm like, I'm going to pray first thing in the morning. And it's just terrible. Because I can't. Typically, I'll get up and I'll say to myself or to the Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Yes.
I go to the gym and then I make a specific time of prayer after that because I find like I am more present. And again, I when I go to the gym, I typically listen to like a Father Mike Schmitz homily when I'm, you know, doing my cardio, which I told him one time and he was weirded out by. But, you know, or I listen to worship music rather than like death metal while I'm lifting weights, right? Or something. So that's a time of prayer. It's a time of preparation to get to that moment of prayer.
You just made two fantastic points. I cannot pray for the most part first thing in the morning. So what I do is I get up, I make that act of adoration. Maybe, you know, I'm consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I pray Hail Mary and Our Father to maybe something very simple. It could just be spontaneous. I move on with the day, but then I come back. So for me, it's coming back to Mass. I then go to Mass and I have that time. I try to spend half an hour there with our Lord if time permits. And again, that means planning ahead of time to make that time happen for Mass and staying in prayer with him for half an hour after.
Absolutely. Now, I think a lot of people think, I know I need to read the Bible, but they don't know how to get started, right? And so I'm just going to throw this out. For me, one of the ways I've found the easiest to get into the Word is the Liturgy of the Word. Mm-hmm. And so by just opening up, and you can go to the U.S. Catholic Bishop's website, the Liturgy of the Word's right there in a calendar. It's usccb.org. Click the Mass for that day, and there's the Liturgy of the Word. And what you have typically is you've got Old Testament, you've got Psalms, you've got Gospel, and it's laid out thematically, typically. And so you can usually say, oh my gosh, I can see how the Old Testament relates to the New Testament. Or maybe you read it and you don't see that, but just a word or phrase stands out to you. Great. You've started Bible study. You've started learning how to hear the voice of the Lord in Scripture. Just be attentive to what stands out to you. And what you'll realize is God is speaking to you every time you dive into the Word. He's speaking into your life. He wants you to hear His voice.
What's concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And I'll never forget one time I took a friend to Stations of the Cross and we're reflecting on Isaiah, right? And the suffering servant. And she goes, I didn't know Jesus was in the Old Testament. And I just, you know, there's one of those moments where you want to laugh and, but it's like, yes, He's there, right? What is revealed in the New Testament has been concealed in these different types, these different people, historical figures who weren't quite Jesus, who weren't quite this perfect individual, who weren't quite the perfect suffering servant, but it's there. And I'll just throw this out there. Maybe I remember when I first started reading the daily Mass readings, it was too much to read all of them. I just stuck with the Gospel.
Stick with the Gospels. Yeah. And I'm going to shamelessly plug something I'm doing right now. If you want, I do a weekly reflection on the Gospel. It's called The Weekly Word with Chris Mueller. You can find it through everydaycatholic.com and we're on iTunes, all those things. It's just kind of an example of how I've been diving into the Word. And God wants to speak to you through the Word. Like, so get into it. Don't let anything stop you.
A couple other recommendations for reading the Bible. The Ignatius Catholic Study Bible is fantastic. It has detailed descriptions. So maybe that weird just seemed really weird or that phrase seemed odd. Well, it's going to sit there and try to explain it to you. And it's going to take on the tradition of the church, the early interpretations by the early church fathers. The other thing that I really have to recommend, Bible Basics for Catholics by John Bergsma. He looks at all of the different covenants in the Old Testament and helps us to see a bird's eye view of the entire scripture and how it fits together, looking at those major stories that maybe we grew up with, Abraham, Isaac, Adam, all the different stories, but helping us to see them in relation to each other. Really good recommendation I throw out there. Anything else before we hop into sleep here?
I am. Okay, so one of my favorite resources in getting into the Gospels is the Catena Aurea. And I might have said that wrong. You're the one with a theology degree. But so Thomas Aquinas gathered the church fathers and their commentary on the Gospels, and he made these books. Now, if you want to buy it, it's stupid expensive to buy this. But you have all of these church fathers giving their commentary on the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you go to ccel.org, you can read it for free on your laptop or on your phone even. And it's right there, and the language has kind of been modernized so that it makes sense. You can also get it at various places in kind of an older, more antiquated language. I tend to read it that way myself. But it's awesome.
These and thou.
Yes, quite so. You know, it's very distinguished.
We're going to a tea party.
No. And I love that, though, because you're literally, when you read the gospel, you go, I don't understand that. You go to this volume, and now you've got people who knew a guy who knew a guy who knew Jesus and how they read the scripture, mm-hmm. right? And so we're reading the scriptures with the church fathers. And I just really found it very enlightening, and it's just a wonderful way for me to get into the gospels.
I love it. There is so much we could talk about. You guys, tweet out maybe prayer questions or resource questions. I could go on and on. I'm sitting here compiling a list of some of the things I'm going to tweet out for all of you guys on prayer. But we have to talk in these last few minutes about sleep, because sleep, man, I know I've struggled with falling asleep, staying asleep, waking up in the middle of the night. And, yeah. You know, it's an opportunity maybe to either use that time more productively or change your attitude about sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you setting yourself up for good sleep? And I think the number one culprit, and if you're not plugged into this, you haven't been paying attention, it's your phone. The number one culprit that's going to stop you from having good sleep is your phone. How do we know that? Well, right now we know that the computer companies are putting in, you know, like night mode on your laptop or on your cell phone, because they know that the blue light that these LED screens are giving out is disrupting your sleep patterns. It's disrupting your body's natural process of releasing melatonin so that you can go to sleep. So a real easy hack right away is to say, about the time the sun goes down, I'm going to put my phone on night mode. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm just going to change it to eliminate that blue light.
And the phone can actually automatically do that too. But although we're getting rid of the blue light, so say we have our phone set to go into night mode later on, I try to stay away from my phone at least, if I can, that half an hour before bed.
Oh yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, that might just be your prayer time. That might be the time you're spending reading a book to unwind. I know sometimes I just need to read a few pages of a book to kind of get my mind to relax a little bit. Here are some of the things I always make sure I check my calendar for the next day if I don't already know what's coming up, and then I set my goals for the next day if I can. From there, my other thing is I do not allow myself to take my phone to my bed. I don't put anything on my bed. Like, I don't put things to do. Like, I don't put laundry on my bed. I don't put my computer on my bed, because my bed's a place of sleep and my brain needs to recognize that. And so I can't be in bed with my phone, essentially. It needs to be on the other side of the room, somewhere further away.
Oh, I'm terrible at that. I, you know, we recently moved the giant projection TV we had in our room to the curb where someone stole it. They took it. We gave it to them, really. It was trash. But then we didn't have a TV in our room. My wife would like to watch a show together at night. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't have the TV in our room, so I would just watch a show on my phone without her, you know. So that wasn't a good process. So now we've moved a smaller TV into the room, and we kind of, anyway, getting back to that. But yeah, that phone is so disruptive. And again, as a married person, when my wife's on her phone in bed and I'm on my phone in bed, we have this opportunity for connection and we're not using it, right? And so does that set up for a good day tomorrow? Typically, no. And so, yeah, I love that of just, you know, leave the phone charging in the bathroom, or yes, leave it charging, you know, on the other side of the room. Well, I need the alarm. Well, you can hear the alarm from the bathroom.
You truly can. And if you can't, just put something really obnoxious on and you will.
No, I did shattering glass one morning for my girls. It was terrible. It was just horrible over and over again, shattering glass. I've also woken them with polka, which I enjoyed. No one else in the family enjoyed.
Were you singing and dancing too?
A little bit. There might have been some foot slapping going on.
But okay, so then make sure, have you cleared your conscience for that day? Have you looked to the tank on what did I do really well today? Maybe there's a virtue or a, you know, bad habit you're working on. How did I do well with it? Where are my struggles? Where are my good moments? And have I ended the day saying, thank you, Lord?
Oh, absolutely. That examination of conscience makes all the difference in getting ready to have a better day tomorrow. Did you look and say, what worked, what didn't? How did I succeed? Where did I fail? And ask forgiveness for those times. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll be back. back with Trending next week.
This has been Trending with Chris and Timmery. To learn more about Chris Mueller or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak at your upcoming event, visit everydaycatholic.com or timmery.com.